From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Republican Senator Richard Shelby, the GOP's top negotiator on a bill to overhaul financial regulations, says he expects all 41 Senate Republicans to vote against an effort by Democrats to cut off debate on the measure later today. That's enough to block the move. Shelby is one of the lawmakers trying to work out a bipartisan compromise, but NPR's Audie Cornish reports that version is not yet complete.
For weeks, lawmakers have been stuck on certain provisions in the bill, such as a $50 billion fund paid for by the financial industry to liquidate failing firms, as well as powers of a proposed consumer bureau to watch over mortgages, credit cards, and other lending. Other provisions in the bill reach far into the financial system. The proposal would shift regulatory responsibilities, so the Federal Reserve would watch over only the largest financial institutions. Smaller national and state-chartered banks would go to other regulators. And the bill tries to tackle the issue of CEO bonuses, with the provision allowing shareholders to weigh in with a non-binding vote on executive pay. Audie Cornish, NPR News, the Capitol.
Teams from the Federal Emergency Management Agency are fanning out across the Deep South today to check the damage caused by the tornadoes and severe weather that hit that region over the weekend. Hundreds of homes were damaged in four states, and at least a dozen people were killed. The National Weather Service says the twister that slammed into Mississippi left a path of damage at least 50 miles long. A special electoral court in Iraq has disqualified a winning candidate in the country's recent parliamentary election on the grounds that he was once a member of Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. The panel also disqualified 51 losing candidates, which will force a recalculation of winners and losers on the entire lengthy ballot. Wall Street is keeping a close eye on the Federal Reserve this week. Steve Beckner with Market News International reports that Fed policymakers will be meeting in Washington to take a fresh look at the U.S. economy and interest rates.
Tomorrow, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and fellow members of the Fed's Policymaking Federal Open Market Committee will begin 2 days of meetings. Also, the closely watched S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index will be released, and the Conference Board's final April Index of Consumer Confidence will be out. Wednesday afternoon, the Fed will issue a monetary policy statement. It is not expected to raise interest rates from near zero, but analysts will watch for any changes in the wording of the Fed's rate announcement, which for more than a year has said rates are likely to stay exceptionally low for an extended period. Friday, the Commerce Department will make an advance estimate of first quarter GDP, and regional purchasing manager surveys will give an early reading on the economy's performance in April. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner in Washington.
Stock prices are mixed at the start of a new trading week on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials are up 39 points at 11,243, but the NASDAQ and S&P 500 are unchanged. This is NPR. The company that owns the West Virginia coal mine where an explosion killed 29 men earlier this month says air samples taken at the site did not show high levels of explosive gases just before the blast. The chairman of the board of Massey Energy says the samples were taken by a foreman as part of a routine shift change procedure. President Obama is calling for tougher mine safety regulations to prevent a repeat of the tragedy. This morning marks the publication of the first city edition of the Wall Street Journal, designed to draw in New York subscribers, not just readers with an interest in business. NPR's David Folkenflik in New York reports the Journal's city edition includes stories on local sports, fashion, gossip, and real estate.
Hot off the presses of the nation's leading financial newspaper is the Greater New York section, with cover stories about an alleged terrorism plot with local ties, rats on Manhattan's Upper East Side, and state budget woes in Albany. Some of those you wouldn't expect to find there in the Journal, but controlling owner Rupert Murdoch is already seeking to challenge the New York Times' primacy as the paper of record for the nation and as the first read for the city's more affluent residents. His editors have also challenged the integrity of the Times' chief editor and the manliness of its publisher, Arthur Sulzberger. Times executives say they're unfazed and compare the Journal's moves to those of its pugilistic sister company, Fox News. The gloves are off at two of the nation's most respected newspapers. David Folkenflik, NPR News, New York.
The cloud of volcanic ash over Europe may have cleared, but the backlog of air travelers is lingering. Travel agents and tour operators in Britain say about 35,000 British nationals are still stranded at various locations and will not all be getting back home until Friday. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.